which is great. I mean, that's his right. However, I believe that a facility would add to retention. Maybe a young coach out there comes along and says, you know, I like Central Texas. I like this new facility, a nice zoysia grass field or Bermuda grass field, you know, whatever that field's made of. And I want to build a home here, and I want to bring championships to this great city, this great area for years and years to come. Okay, that's what's happening at the University of Texas right now. Got a wonderful young coach who comes along with all the skills, and he's gonna do some great things because it's a great university. If we could present something like that here, no telling what kind of people we could attract for our kids. The third topic I want to talk about is revenue. I believe the way this might be designed, if I'm not mistaken, you'd have a baseball and a softball complex together. Well, why not just party together? Let's go ahead and have concessions opened up. You know, a nice new facility is going to bring fans coming to the games. Okay, we're going to have that attractive. We already have attractive coaches. Okay, so, you know, people are going to want to come see that. They're going to want to spend money. Who gets the money? The school gets the money. We get better things. Okay, there's a lot of benefits to these things that no one's looking at. You know, you look at how much a stadium's going to cost. Yeah, but you know what else? There's revenue that comes in, but there's also memories that are formed at that stadium. That one day when that kid who hit, I know of people who have already records at the current high school, okay? But it's going to be great that new records be formed and history be made. And that's what our pastime is about, baseball and softball. Everybody remembers Mickey Mantle and Babe Ruth. Well, maybe there's going to be a Castillo or a Vaughn or a Martinez out there that's going to be on that field. Or, you know, a wonderful lady who can go out and not just pitch three or four games, but maybe become a doctor one day, okay, and help repair arms, okay? So that's what we're talking about, not just sports, but what sports can bring. And the fourth thing I want to talk about is, I just want to tell you a little story. I know a kid who went into home plate last year, and he cut up his arm. He had a nice little gash on his pitching arm, and the coach went to his parents, and the coach said, you can take him to the doctor. We think we can fix it. What do you want to do? The parents said, why don't you ask the player? The player said, I'm not coming out. You got to fix me. He went and got fixed. For two innings, we were out without his services. They cart him back. Thank goodness we have a buggy. They cart him back. And the coach says, can you play? And the player said, I can play. And the coach says, I need to hear it from the trainer. He runs over to the trainer. Coach has to hear you say he can play. The trainer said, he can play. Then the coach says, can you pitch? This is the arm that just got sliced. And the player says, I can pitch. Go warm up. He comes in and he warms up. Goes out, finishes two more scoreless innings of baseball with five strikeouts. Why did he do that? Because love of the game, because love for his teammates, and because pride for his high school. He was not going to let that other team. He was going to do everything he could so that other team does not win on this field. Okay? These are the sacrifices that our children make. They risk sports-ending injuries, they risk concussions, they risk broken bones, they risk busted knees, and all for what? So that parents can go home and worry, how are we going to get this fixed? When are you going to be? Are you okay? Okay. Meanwhile, we're trying to decide, you know, what's right and what's wrong, and that's not for me to say. That's for the community to decide. But there are children who are asked to play, stay late at practices, to batter their bodies, and then be academically sound in school. I can't even do that. You know, I couldn't do that when I was in school. I only played one sport, thank goodness. But we ask them to do those things. And at the end of the day, when they graduate from their high school, yes, it's going to be great that they played in the facility because they're going to do it for the love and passion. But they have that sense of, this was my home. Now, my son is not going to probably see any of the results, any of the facilities, okay? He's not going to experience them, but it's not for him. It's for the young ones coming up. I, as a longtime youth coach, 20-something years of youth baseball, have seen what youth sports is about, and it's cruel and it's ugly because everybody has to win. Well, that's not the name of the game. Why don't you? If people spent more time training their kids and making the game fun, okay, you'd have so many kids. And I believe if we could get that kind of conversation going, if we could change the way youth sports is today, that facility that we're going to build, hopefully, is going to be filled with a lot of smiling faces and a lot of champions to the Hayes District. You know, we talked about coliseums. That's their coliseum. They're gladiators. They work hard. They lift weights. They hear coaches in their ears. They pump iron. They run sprints. And they try to compete. And at the end of the day, what's it all for? To win as a team. And I think the community owes our wonderful athletes the opportunities to play in the best facilities available. There are teams like, yes, Lake Travis and Westlake and Bowie and tons of other, Katy, who are just enormously great, and they have the revenue and they have the financial backing. It's got to start somewhere. If they're going to put us in 6A to compete against these teams, we need to be competitive, and it starts with a facility. So hopefully these words go noticed, and maybe part of a topic, a discussion. Again, prayers and hope is all on those that make the final decision. But thank you for your time.
Thank you for that, Mr. Martinez. The sixth card we've received this evening is for another speaker, Jeff Vaughn, who's gonna come and talk about Title IX and helmets. Nope, that's not it. Baseball, softball. There's a list, but it was X'd out, so I thought we were going over here. I'm sorry.
No worries.
I'm sorry, Mr. Vaughn.
No, you're good. First of all, I want to thank you all for allowing me to come up here and visit with you all a little bit. Really just wanted to give you a little background about the complex, which I know there's a lot of things out there, a lot of money need to be spent, and there's a lot of things that need to be weighed out on what's more important. I'm not here to say y'all aren't doing a good job or this needs to be put on the side and we need this on the ballot. Just want to give you a little knowledge of what I've done. I moved to Buda in 1975, went to Buda Elementary School, and went all the way up and graduated through Hayes High School. And played football, played baseball, ran track, played basketball, played on the golf team. That's what Coach Shelton wanted us to do. We played every sport we possibly can. Unfortunately, select sports has changed that culture. But so was saying that, been here for a long time. Have lived in this community for a long time. I see a lot of baseball games. I even see a lot of softball games. And so seeing those facilities, I'm also the last 12 years have been a scout for Major League Baseball. I also run about 200 to 250 baseball tournaments throughout the state of Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Louisiana, and Colorado. So with saying that, I spend a lot of time at baseball fields. Nice baseball fields, college venues, high school baseball fields throughout not just Texas but surrounding states. And I think we all understand here, I'm not beating the drum, our facilities are pretty poor. And with me renting facilities, I've also been through $4 or $5 million in lawsuits. We've had a kid ball go through the batting cage, hit him in the eye. Mom sued everybody that she could see. And several years, about $1.5 million in medical expenses. I got sued, or our company got sued at St. Ed's University. I don't know if any of y'all ever been to St. Ed's University. It's on the side of a hill where the bleachers are. Great little setup and everything. We have a dad that decides instead of taking the stairs, he wants to walk up the hill, gets halfway down, he rolls down the hill, tears his knee up. $750,000 later and about $25,000 in attorney fees, we finally get it settled out of court. And they sued St. Ed's, they sued my company, they sued the baseball team the guy played for, they sued everybody they can possibly get their hands on because somebody wanted to pay for it when realistically it wasn't anybody's fault. So with saying that, I'm involved a lot with sports facilities. I also own Total Sports Management. We have a $20 million complex in the Woodlands, and we just took over a $4.5 million facility in San Antonio, and we just dropped $1.5 million in turf to redesign the facility and to improve the facility. So I also know a little bit about, you know, the building, the construction, and how things operate. We had a guy come in and said, this is what we want done. It was a $3 million bid. We did what he told us for $3 million for $500,000. We'll be done in about 6 weeks. We went and started our own construction team. We did it ourselves. Not saying that's something y'all want to do, but we figured out a way to go do the upgrades we wanted for the facility, for the people in these communities that we're working with, understanding that I don't have deep enough pockets to go pay that kind of money because they want to build the Taj Mahal for me. I don't need the Taj Mahal. I need a safe complex. I need a place where people can come, enjoy festivities, enjoy the surroundings. And do I want it to be nice? Most definitely I want it to be nice. But there comes that line in the sand where it becomes a waste of money with what we're trying to accomplish. So I say all those things to say that I go to a lot of high school baseball games at Hayes. I've been to the softball games. And yes, we know the facilities are in the shape that they're in. What I'd hate to see if somebody really gets hurt or there's a lawsuit or there's some things. I take my son up there. I have a batting cage in my backyard. But I like to take my son up there because he enjoys the experience. He's a sophomore at Hayes High School this year. I had to put 3 L screens together to feel safe to do soft toss to my son. And I'm sitting there as I'm doing this going, I'm a dad and I'm smart and I know this. I'm being protective. But when I show up and watch kids practice, we've got 75 kids out there between 3 teams. We've got 3 coaches. We've got 2 batting cages that have steel poles in them. So when a ball comes back, it could hit somebody. There's just a lot of things out there that, as we all know, that need to be improved. Whether it gets approved or doesn't get approved, I just more want to make everybody aware of what's out there from a safety issue like he has brought up. We all want great facilities for all our kids. I don't care if it's band, I don't care if it's soccer, what sport, activities, improving the quality of the mechanics, auto mechanics, whatever it may be. But just as we are out there and we see the things out there, just really concerned about the safety of the kids that are out there. The fact that when you look at our baseball field, the baseball field from home plate to the pitcher's mound is actually the right height, but it actually has about a 2.5-foot dip in it. And this is kind of humorous. When we have playoff games here, which Hayes has made the playoffs and done very well in baseball as softball over the last 10 or 15 years. And I'll get phone calls from high school coaches that show up and I'll answer my phone. And they go, hey, we just pulled up to Hayes. I said, yeah. He goes, you've got to be kidding me. He goes, really? He goes, he's looking at the mound. That's the second biggest mound in the city behind, or the state behind McMurray University, our pitching mound. And the fact that it slopes like this, it's just, so the fact that other coaches and other people pull up and they see that makes it very difficult to want to bring people out here, people to come to the tournaments. And as our kids go to school here, we have to tolerate that. We have to go out to those facilities and handle and be there and go, hey, we can just do the best that we can. Just really my ultimate concern is really the safety aspect of what we've got going on there. Everybody, y'all are doing your job. Everybody's doing the best job that they can under the situation and the stipulations, the kids, the facilities, and everything else that are out there. And I'm a big, you know, proposal of trying to just by standing up here and talking. You ask my wife, she's probably freaking out over there because I don't stand up in front of a lot of people unless it's a contract or I have to sell something for my business. And then at that point, I got to do it because I got to take care of the family. But I'll be honest with you, first meeting I've ever attended. I'll be honest with you. Not necessarily saying I'm happy to say that, but when I saw that the complex got pushed back a little bit, being through lawsuits and being in the construction industry, owning facilities and living here my whole life, I played at that baseball field. I think some of those poles, some of the light poles, the scoreboard, I think that scoreboard is still there when I was there in 1986. I really do. I can even tell you a buddy who hit a ball, there's probably still a dent up there that's showing when he hit a home run, it hit the scoreboard. Jason Castillo. When I was a freshman, he was a senior. And so just, we all understand that there's a lot of important things on this. I'll use what he said. Let's don't build the Taj Mahal. Let's figure out a way to take some of that money with some of that extra space, and let's figure out a way to maybe squeeze, whether it's a baseball complex or anything else, try to figure out a way to cut some of the expenses of that wasted stuff. And I'm in a construction company. I get it. I understand. You make money. You go in, you give them the big deal, and you try to get them to do you down, because if I can sell you for $5 million, why should I come at 3.5? You know, I just made them extra $1.5 million, and really I didn't do anything except make a building and, you know, add a little more steel and a little more construction to it. Really, all I'm doing is padding my pockets. I understand that, and that's what they do. So I would say take some of that money. Let's be simple, and let's try to use that money for other things that we need in this proposal that's up there. Because, again, I understand that we also want to have a set number that we want to not surpass. So I completely understand that. But really just wanted to get up here and just say, with my experience, the fields, and I don't mean this to anybody in here, anyone who's over the field, the coaches, who I know Coach Howard and all of those guys. Coach Shelton lived down the street from me my whole life. And I respect everything that they've done, but as a scout and as many baseball fields as I have seen, we do. We have the worst facilities, not just in Central Texas, but we have some of the worst facilities in the state of Texas from my experience of showing up and being at other facilities. The only place that compares to us in Central Texas is Bastrop High School. It's the only really other facility that compares to our facility as far as just the lack of some of the things that they need, and we really are way behind. We've done the football field multiple times. We've done the track multiple times. But yet there's still people using the softball and baseball complex that I really think somehow, some way, there's some things there that need to be done. Now, is it $3.6 million? I don't know the answer to that. But somehow, some way of trying to do something to somehow improve some of those areas for our student athletes and stuff. And some of the things he brought up. I go to Westlake. I see their golf tournament fundraiser raised $100,000. We raised $11,545, I think, is what we raised. I get that. I've got a lot of friends out there. I've got some business partners out there. Different world. But still trying to do everything we can to make sure our kids have quality facilities to be able to go out and just enjoy what they do. Enjoy going out and playing that sport. Are they going to play college athletics? The records show that 97% of most athletes in high school are not going to play college athletics. I'm not saying build it so they can sit here and go to college, be the next, you know, whatever Division I scholarship athletes. That's out of our control. But at least just having a quality facility that people are proud to show up to, work hard in, practice in, and then other people want to come in. I run baseball tournaments, like I said. There used to be a coach at one of the high schools here that January 1st, he called me, Jeff, when are you renting my facility? Because we paid him about $10,000 or $15,000 a summer to rent his facility and bring people into the community who went to restaurants, to hotels in those communities that we use and stuff like that. So just what an impact just for the high school and rent of the field and the high school coaches. It was also something that we could bring into where now all of a sudden you're bringing in multiple teams. Some of the tournaments that I've hosted have had 75 teams, and I use Texas State. You realize outside of Texas State, I have to go to Westwood High School, Cedar Ridge High School, Georgetown High School, Southwestern, St. Ed's, Mary Hardin Baylor, that I can't bring people here. I can't have people travel in all over the state and out of the state to use these facilities, and I want to get back here. I would love to run tournaments and bring people in here to benefit, not to line my pockets or the company's pockets, but just to bring people in the community, stay at the hotel, stay at the restaurant, stay at any of the people here who own their own business, just a little kickback. Is it going to cover $3.6 million? Probably not, but it still gives the opportunity and has some other value to the facility. With our complex, we run softball tournaments. We run them at different ages. And, you know, on average, we put through maybe 5,000 teams over the course of just 8 weeks during the summer in a variety of different things. So there's other things there by having a facility like that where maybe some other revenue and some other things that come in that would want to use those facilities. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, I do believe the gym gets rented quite often as far as volleyball. I think there's a team volleyball camp that rents a facility. I know there's some basketball stuff that goes on there. And again, all that has some value in what we're doing. But again, I more wanted to get up here and throw my knowledge out there, what I'm involved with, what I see, what I do. Y'all have a tough decision to make because all the money needs to be spent on all the different areas. There really is not one that's more important than the other. All of them are about our kids, about education, about helping them just develop as people. And so again, I do thank you for allowing me to come up here and just kind of voice my opinion and stuff. Hopefully some of the information is useful and helpful. And by all means, if you have any questions, want a phone number, have any questions for me later down the road, please feel free to contact me. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. That's the last card that we've received this evening. Would anyone else like to speak at this time? Sure. I'm sorry, Mr. Oker, can you be on mic, please? Yes.
My question, and Tim, maybe you can shed some light on whether or not this was addressed in the committee meetings. One of my concerns is, if y'all will recall back, and I don't know what the economic climate was here. I was in South Texas at the time, but 2007, 2006, 2007 were extremely good years. The economy was booming; it was rolling. 2008 comes. I think we all remember the financial crisis. I know it took a little while for some of that to hit the assessments. Some communities started seeing some tailing off in 2009, and then a lot of communities actually saw a reduction in across the board assessed values in 2010. One of my concerns is that we seem to be operating under the assumption that we're going to have this 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, whatever percent growth. And I mentioned this before, the county bonds, which I'm going to assume y'all are getting the same advice, their bonds don't actually work under the current tax rate unless they see a 12% across the board increase in year one. I don't even know what year you have to go back to in Hays County to see a 12% across the board increase. Now, I'm talking about existing properties, not talking about new properties to the rolls, not new construction. That's the only way their bonds work. Because the actuarials just don't work out if you don't have that 12% in year one. So one of my concerns is, what if some unforeseen event comes that maybe it doesn't even have anything directly to do with Hays County, but maybe it's something, you know, as overarching as the financial crisis hits us. As we know, we're going to be capped. We can't raise the tax rate. I mean, at least the county can, but we're capped on the M&O and we're capped on the INS. What are we going to do? And at the same time, let's say the property values take that hit, but we still have this influx. Maybe it takes us a couple of years for that to catch up. Did y'all even think about that? Was that discussed? I mean, I'm just curious.
So it's Tim Savoy and then Mrs. Fulmar will also.
Yeah, I was actually going to introduce her because I'm not the financial expert. But this is our chief financial officer. I'll say, actually, I don't remember the details of it. I know that it really kind of from two angles, not only the tax, the property appraisal values and that, but also the demographic, the demographic reports and the numbers of students coming in. And I remember on that side of it, and they kind of all go hand in hand at the end of the day. On that side of it, I know that we have talked about how we had a slowdown in the 2008 recession, but we didn't stop growing. And so I know that was part of it. And Annette had the financial folks in, and I'll let her talk about the appraisal and the taxation side of it.
Thank you. That's a very good question. If the school district were estimating continually to need value growth to make the payments on these current bonds, any change in that, and even a small percentage growing but not growing fast enough, would be catastrophic on the ability to repay the debt. So we do not do that, project that. The only growth in our projections for being able to service the debt just include 1 year of growth, because we get our new values July 25th every year. And so since the election would be in May, we ideally would make our first payment on the 2017 bond in August, this August. And so we would be factoring in this year's growth, but no additional growth. Now, what that means is that we don't anticipate realistically that we'll be flat, will we? We probably will continue to see growth. And so we will build in the ability to pay off some of these bonds early every year to enable to save interest payments on these bonds as our value growth occurs. That will also build capacity if the community wants to do additional projects. If we have more enrollment growth, that's how you'll get your capacity to add more debt. If we did project value growth, we would never have any capacity to build new schools when the students came, if we needed another high school, another middle school, another elementary school, or several elementary schools, if that makes sense. There would be no ability to add any capacity. So we do not do that. And I'm really, really glad that you asked that question, because I had not addressed that, but it's a great point.
Great. Thank you, Mrs. Fulmer. Does anybody else have any further questions or comments at this time? Okay, well, thank you to our speakers, Mr. Oker, Mr. Blackwell, Mr. Vaughn, Mr. Martinez, and then the other individuals who wish to remain non-speakers this evening. Want to thank everybody for being here this evening, and we'll adjourn the meeting at 7:33 p.m. Thank you.